Hey, this is Katie Jeter with the Public Affairs Program here on KNDY. This week, I sat down with Lori Parker from the Blue Rapids Museum to talk about Irving, Kansas.
My name is Lori Parker, and I'm a curator at the Blue Rapids Museum. But with our collections at the museum, we have what we call the Blue Valley Story. And in there tells about Irving, Garrison, all the towns that were... But let's talk about Irving. It was founded in 1859 by 14 men from Lyons, Iowa. There were three lawyers, two doctors, a teacher, a minister, and two merchants, and a hotel keeper. Well, there's a town for you almost, so they started the good thing. And some of the many things that we have in our collection, we have the last sewing machine that would have left Irving in the 1950s. So people can come and see that. We have lots of stories, paraphernalia collections. One of them is a sifter from the Thompson store, and it has three locations. So one year we were on the font looking to see where those locations were, and that's where you go to the Bigelow reunion to find that. And we were able to find the Irving location, the Frankfurt location, and the Bigelow location for that sifter. We have some DVDs, and we have some Irving books that are great collector's items that people can read through and see the history and the things that happen in Irving. The Twin Tornadoes is always a big topic. People want to talk about that and how Baum heard the story, and he made a book about it. And so it was the Wizard of Oz that he talked about.
She talked to someone named Ken to talk about Irving.
I did talk to Ken Wishman. And he wrote me a short note. So he has some random thoughts of Irving about 1955 to 1963. He says, I have a few thoughts and remembrances of Irving. My Aunt Peggy's folks lived in Irving in a nice little house on the east side of town, overlooking the river bottom. As an eight-year-old, I would go with my grandparents to visit on occasion. I remember the nice view and the big garden they raised. Even then, it was a small town without much happening. Again, with my grandparents, we would go to see the outdoor movies that were shown on the side of a building downtown on special Saturday nights. I remember grainy movies on the side of a rough building and popcorn. Seems like there was always a pretty good crowd. That would be maybe 50 people. The downtown was a short main street, maybe two blocks, less than a dozen businesses. The Thompson family was active in the Presbyterian Church, including the one in Blue Rapids. As such, we would, on occasion, go to their house as part of a youth group Sunday evenings. I remember being impressed with fine old house and all the beautiful trim. Little did I know at the time I would help Dad and Uncle Wayne tear it down. Once the Tuttle Creek Dam and water basin was started, the town lost much of its being. Businesses closed rather quickly and houses became vacant. Dad and Uncle Wayne bought the Thompson House from the Corps of Engineers in their auction. All of the houses in Irving were bought by the Corps, then auctioned off. The houses were to be moved, torn down, or just demolished. Vacant lot was all that was to remain after the salvage. Several of the houses were moved to Blue Rapids, including the Catholic Church. The side story on the church is that it was stuck in a field just outside Blue Rapids for a couple of weeks as they tried to move it after a good rain. Another of the houses was moved with the residents still living in it. She was a bit overweight and couldn't get around, and well, so she just stayed in the house.
And you can find many different things about Irving in the Blue Rapids Museum.
Here at the museum, we have a list of the houses that were moved up to Blue Rapids. And we also have a map of Irving, and we're trying to research where those houses came from. It sounds easier than it is.
There is also one more story to add to Ken's as well.
Just one more to add with Ken's story. He said, tearing down the Thompson House was an experience. Dad, uncle, and cousins all working Saturdays and Sundays for the fall and the winter. There was enough salvage from the house to construct a big part of our new house. I remember how vacant the city was while we were tearing down the house. There were no businesses left in town. Many of the houses were gone or being demolished. It was just a vacant area where a city had only 2 years before. And now all that remains is a marker where a city used to be and memories of those that lived here, because the last folks moved out in 1960. There are not many memories left. And so that is the post office marker that we were talking about before. And they have usually a notebook, and people write stories and tell who they were related to. It's pretty fun to go down and read what people have written in the notebooks.
I would like to thank Lori for being my guest on this weekend's Public Affairs. If you would like to listen again, you can always go to kndyradio.com. Thank you for listening. This has been Katie Jeter with the Public Affairs Program here on KNDY.